where he signed a decree to launch the new security and occupational health policy. International Workers' Day was established in 1889 by the Socialist Labor Congress held in Paris as a day of struggle and in tribute to the martyrs of Chicago, who were executed after demanding a reduction of the working day in the United States and staging a strike on May 1, 1886.
A session of the Venezuelan Parliament that was discussing various additional credits was suspended after a fight involving attending deputies allegedly started by right-wing parliamentarians. Deputy of the United Socialist Party of Venezuela, Pedro Carreño, then reported to the press that opposition lawmakers attacked several members of the pro-Chavez group in the Federal Legislative Palace, which he described as another fascist and violent action led by the right-wing. Venezuelan media reported that the opposition deputies started a protest after Parliament Speaker Diosdado Cabello ratified a decision to not allow them the right to speak during the session until they accept Nicolás Maduro as the legitimate president of the country and let their coup interests aside. After the April 14th elections, opposition candidate Enrique Capriles and his allies have started a number of destabilization actions in the country under the pretext of not recognizing the election victory of socialist leader Nicolás Maduro. Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff said Monday that her government will resubmit to Congress a bill demanding oil royalties to be invested exclusively in education. Rousseff said that no country can survive without focusing on full-time education, adding that both families and
And hello. If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
About our nation and God and everything. I just want to know, how much do you love your country?
Nationality.
I'm confused.
I know. At one time, Jewish people lived in Germany. You understand that, right?
I'm German as well.
I know. That's why I asked you nationality. At one time, Jewish people lived in Germany, didn't they?
Did they?
And during World War I, they fought for Germany. They loved Germany. Until one day, Adolf Hitler began to exterminate them. And then they turned on their country and went for a land of their own. Well, this is what you have to understand. We have served this stinking country. There's nobody more patriotic than black people that die in your wars, build your cities, and raise your children, and bleed in all of your wars, and reap none of the benefits. There is nobody more patriotic than us. There is nobody that has served America more than us, until one day we found out that this is the land of our oppressor. This is not our homeland. So we decided to go find our own land. So we decided to go find the land of our ancestors, just like the Jewish people did in Germany. And know what the problem of white people is? You don't respect anybody's humanity except for your own. You don't respect anybody's pain except for your own. You expect Jewish people to hate Hitler and hate the Nazis, but you can't understand why we should hate you. You can't understand that because you're not human and you're cruel and you're selfish. And if you had any love and compassion in your heart, you would know how much you deserve to be hated. If you had any love in your heart, you white people are merciless. And you hate to look at anybody as a human being. How dare you ask us? Have you loved America? We have loved you forever, and you have always hated us. We have loved you consistently for 400 years. We prayed to that white Jesus, and we saluted your flag, and we died in your militaries, and you beat us like dogs. How dare you ask us? Have we loved you? I'm for you. When in the hell have you ever loved anybody but yourself? Give me Ezekiel 35. I'm looking you square in your eye and telling you this, that you are completely cruel. And you know why your heart is broken? Because I'm telling you the truth for the first time in your life. Your whole life you thought that you've been compassionate and caring, but meanwhile, you know what you are? Just another white girl standing on stolen ground reaping the benefits of bloody fathers. That's what you are. Even though you think you're so liberal and so kind, all you are is another child benefiting off the murder of your father. That is who you really are. And you should face it. And you should fall on your knees and beg repentance for your evil, cruel, corrupt, selfish life that you've lived here on the bones of the North American Indian, on the bones of the slaves, on the bones of the Puerto Ricans, on the bones of the Mexicans, on the bones of all the poor people that your father murdered so you could go to college. And so you could get drunk and high and have a good time. Your father had to murder for that privilege. You understand that, don't you?
No.
Your mother had to kill. Your grandfather had to steal so you could live like Pamela Anderson in America. Give me Ezekiel 35. That's the truth. I'm showing you love. That's love. I'm telling you the truth. Ain't that real love?
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Stand up and fight for Indigenous rights.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian land! Indian land! Indian land! Indian land! You guys have no jurisdiction here.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians, all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for smart Aboriginals.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio. This is Radio Intelligente Rindigina.
Barack Obama, an elitist snob with troubling opinions of his fellow Americans, but he doesn't say them publicly. He says them in this book. I think he's got some explaining to do. I mean, this is the kind of stuff presidents don't say. They're presidents of all of the people. This is shocking. This may be too ugly to explore. This president obviously has a chip on his shoulder, several chips. And one has to do with race. Now, this book is by, Kenneth T. Walsh, Family of Freedom, Presidents and African Americans in the White House. It's a book devoted, what does Obama think about being in there, knowing full well that slaves built it? He gets asked about that. What do you think about being in there when most of the servants are black? And here's an excerpt from it. But Obama, in his most candid moments, acknowledged that race was still a problem. In May of 2010, he told guests at a private White House dinner that race was probably a key component in the rising opposition to his presidency from conservatives, especially right-wing activists in the Tea Party movement that was then surging across the fruited plain. Many middle-class and working-class whites felt aggrieved and resentful. The federal government was helping other groups, including bankers, automakers, irresponsible people who had defaulted on their mortgages and the poor, but wasn't helping them. That may be true, but none of it was race-based. A guest suggested that when Tea Party activists said they wanted to take back their country, their real motivation was to stir up anger and anxiety at having a black president. And Obama didn't dispute the idea. He agreed that there was a subterranean agenda in the anti-Obama movement, a racially biased one that was unfortunate, but he sadly conceded there was little he could do about it. I think the most... It is totally classless. It is totally classless. The guy just got elected president of this country. He is historic in that he's the first black president. But my point is, Eric Holder says that we don't have the guts to have a public discussion about this. We're cowards. We're leading the coward parades, Obama. He doesn't have the guts to say this stuff in public, but he says it to this Kenneth T. Walsh guy from U.S. News writing this book. Well, let me ask you a question. How many people really think of Obama as black? I mean, apart from Chris Matthews, who's obsessed with that. One of Obama's parents was black, undeniable. But he was raised by a white mother, by white grandparents. He went to a highly exclusive private school in Hawaii with rich white students and white teachers. He went to exclusive colleges that were practically lily white. Barry Obama is from a very white, albeit radical left, cultural background. He's not from the hood. He's not from the movement. Although maybe he's right. Maybe he's right. Maybe everything is race for him. The race for the presidency. He can play upon his race, his skin color to get reelected. Surely he will. Surely he is now. So it's all about making himself a victim. Telling you there's a chip on this guy's shoulder, and it, folks, it is a factor in every policy decision he makes. Every agenda item that he has.
Internet radio for smarter originals.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the fourth world from within occupied North America, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Salutan and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. I'm your host, Angry Indian, Editor-in-Chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service. Logging to the fourth world from aboriginalpressnews.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and ang-newswire.blogspot.com. Thank you for tuning in to Indigenous News, thought and analyses concerning the issues that matter to original peoples. and other communities across the world living under imperial, theological, racist, neoclassist, neocolonialist, neoliberal, neo-fascist, and neo-misogynist control. I wish to welcome you all to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. And welcome along, I wish peace to the gods and earths and love and solidarity to the original family, all of us, in this time of strife and struggle. Israel has attacked Syria. They've attacked Damascus. So, you know, what do you think, brother and sister? Where do you think this is going to go? What do you think is going to happen with this? I think it deserves a moment of thought, don't you? And I'm not even talking about the Palestinian situation per se. I'm just saying the fact that the Orwellian aspects of this are glaring. The war is meant to be continuous. A war on terror is a war on whom? Where? How many? How many men? You know, how much money? How much is this going to cost, right? You know, I mean, I remember Rumsfeld. Good old Rummy sitting up there with a press to meet, talking about how the Iraqi oil was going to pay for the invasion and occupation. Yeah, how's that working? To quote Sarah the Quitter Palin. You know, I mean, how is that working? How is that working? From what I can see, we're all paying out of the backside for this. You know, we're all paying for this. It is our dollars that are going down for this. You know, and Halliburton has made money. Turner Brown and Root has made money. Cheney's made money. You know, I mean, everybody who had any sort of input in any of the nonsense there, you know, be it Blackwater Z, what did they call themselves? Yes, not that I forget, you know, it's just, she's in another room looking at me through glass. Guadalupe Morales is our executive producer and your engineer for this evening. It's frustrating, it's tiresome, it's unfair. You know, like I've always said, and I'm complaining about this for a reason. Cheney is a billionaire, multi-millionaire billionaire, right? I thought that he was supposed to be a billionaire. Well, you know, whatever the case is, he's got more money than me, dude. And, we're paying for his health care. Why is that? Why did the Obama administration make sure that this multi-millionaire, whatever amount of money he has, he's rich. He's, definitely within the 1%. Why are American citizens paying for his health care? Why are taxpayers, you know, those NRA members that are meeting in Texas this week, you know, why are we paying for his health care when he can pay for his own health care in the land of capitalism and laissez-faire trading and what have you, grab ass, right? So, you know, it's like, why are we paying for his health care when we have, why is Obama concerned about that? When we have African people here who don't have health care, where we have Native Americans who don't have health care. You don't have health care, but you know, you're doing whatever you do, but you're paying taxes for a rich man to have his health needs met at, what is it, Bethesda Medical? You know, so it's like he's being taken care of, but I got neighbors, you know, who need help. Elders who need help and can't get any assistance. Because when they go to the welfare office, they tell them, we have no money. We have no money. Well, they don't tell everybody that we don't have money, because it depends on where you are. And again, this is anecdotal. This is anecdotal. I mean, if you have information, I would like to hear about it. You can always drop us a line at, I mean, if you have some news, I mean, look, you know, dig this. If you have any community-focused, nonprofit, PSA, grassroots news, and other things you want Indigenous peoples to be aware of, you know, you can always drop us a line at AboriginalRadio@lopabit.com. Let me say that again for the uninitiated. AboriginalRadio@lopabit.com. For those of you who didn't get the memo, you know, if it's not on the internet, obviously we don't know about it. You dig what I'm saying? So if you got something going on in your community, you know, I don't know more, whatever it is, send us, you know, what you have, whatever crediting information, whatever else we need to know. And, you know, we'll look at it. And, you know, we'll, you know, I mean, this is what the Zapatistas were talking about. I mean, why were the Zapatistas successful, you know, at least in one particular avenue? The idea of, you know, of bridging the Aboriginal communities around the planet through the internet. This show would not exist were it not for the Zapatistas. You know, Lupe, right? You know, if it was not for the Zapatista call for indigenous media on a global scale, using this new medium, as Subcomandante Marcos put it, as, you know, the internet, this show would not have been birthed. You know, that was the entire reason, the inspiration, what have you behind that. And we're going to get to that too, because in Mexico, you know, the Zapatistas are considered what? An armed militia group, or are they considered terrorists? See, I'm not even particularly sure what the language is, because frankly, it's somewhat been a media block on them for several years in the Americas. You don't hear anything at all about the Zapatistas. It is not that they don't exist. They just chose a new head of operations or what have you. I mean, from what I understand, I mean, it, you know, there's things that come by through these indie media sites from various their various offices or, you know, groups that operate in various countries around the planet. And it's worth looking at. You can go to Indie Media, what is it, .org or .net? No, it's .org, isn't it? Indie Media, but I-N-D-Y Media.org. And you'll see, you know, countries, locations, cities within, you know, major cities and what have you. If you want to find out what's going on with the Golden Dawn, the fascists, the Nazis, the clear-cut neo-Nazis, which, you know, which I find goddamn strange, since Greeks, you know, are Greeks, you know, I mean, they're European, of course, but are they white? You know, Luffy's husband and I were talking about that, it was about a month, yeah, it was a while back, but I mean, you know, we actually had this discussion, didn't we? You know, where we were wondering, because according to Greek tradition, at least from what he and I understand, you know, Greek tradition says that they come from Lebanon. Now, I don't know how many of you know that, and if I'm wrong about that, then hey, correct us and send your data, Aboriginal Radio, alababit.com. From what we understand, they supposedly, you know, somewhat like Libya, or what, wait a minute, were Libyans supposed to be Canaanites, or, you know, I've asked, you know, in a couple of yeshivas that, you know, I've been, you know, privy to go to, you know, and I've asked them, I said, you know, what, you know, who was there before the tribe of Israel arrived, you know, and they talk about the Canaanites and what have you. And, you know, through a lot of that, you know, and I don't know how, yeah, see, you know, how your husband came into it, I'm not particularly sure, but, you know, we both came down that, you know, we were both, you know, told that people from Greece, the Greek people, you know, are Semitic folks, like, you know, people from Malta, and that they trace their origins to the Lebanon. So, you know, I don't know. You know, if you're going to consider yourself to be a Greek, I mean, when this whole austerity thing came down, they were talking about Greece the way they talk about Turkey. You know, seriously, listen, think about this. You know, Turkey, it's always been this, you know, problem in the EU, right? You know, are they white enough to be in the EU? You know, nobody wants to come right out and say it, but that's what it is. That's what it is. That's what it is. And it's not the skin color. You know, I mean, ask an Irishman. Oh, right? You know, ask somebody living in the six goddamn counties and shit. You know, what the hell is going on? It's not skin color. You dig? But, you know, it is this whole idea, though, of what is whiteness. You know, what the hell is whiteness? You know, and what the hell is whiteness? You know, I mean, a lot of people have asked, you know, where the hell is Europe's, you know, borders, really? Because then you just totally skip over Turkey and what have you, right? You ignore Greece, ignore Cyprus, don't pay any attention to Malta, and then you just totally skip over and go right straight to Moscow. You know, how the hell does that work? How the hell does that work? You know, I mean, most of Eastern Europe, unless they're considered necessary, and we all know this, they don't even pay that any mind. And in the United States, you know, until the recent flare-up, or, you know, historically recent anyway, flare-up, when Milosevic was in charge of Yugoslavia, which they didn't need anymore. Tito was gone. There was no need for it anymore. The wall was down, right? The Soviet Union was no more, right? Did not exist any goddamn longer. So, you know, okay, so you have Putin and some gangsters running things. But for the most part, there's no global threat. You know, there's no real opposition when you're the only superpower. You dig? You know, see, what you have then is that you have these little problems. You have cockroaches that are running around that you have to step on. Because, you know, they put a jam into the works. And, you know, they're ugly and you don't want to see them. Yeah, think Kafka when I'm talking about all of this shit. You know, because that's what it is. That's what it is. You know, I mean, let's start using some metaphors for the stupid out there. They can't understand or don't want to read Chomsky. You know, they don't want to read Necessary Illusions or something. Don't want to read Parenti. You know, feel too proud to listen to someone like Bob Kincaid or Mike Malloy, what have you, or Bill Press, or, you know, Brad Blog, you know, or Black Talk Radio, right? Or Uhuru Radio, or Red Talk Radio, you know, the Dr. Vibe Show, right? You know, it's just, you know, it's just too much. They don't want to do it. So we have to give them, you know, simplistic goddamn pictorial metaphors. Because that's, I mean, look what's going on in Texas with this NRA. And there's a lot of things we can say about this, and we're going to talk about them, but we're just trying to get some verification because this is the internet, right? And it's like, you know, we're seeing a lot of things here. So, you know, it's like, you know, will there be verification within the time span that we're here that to talk about a lot of this? You know, it's like the NRA is one thing. What's happening with Assata Shakur is another thing. And the other thing I want to get to, for any of you who live in Colorado, have anything to do with Colorado, read the Boulder Weekly. You know, for those of you who like to, you know, I don't know what it is. You know, you don't like Walt Churchill. You hate Walt Churchill. And when I say something that sounds like something that he said, this particular article by Joel Dyer in the Boulder Weekly pretty much proves that Walt Churchill and I really do not see things eye to eye. The only thing that we agree on is that, you know, Europeans don't have any business here. You know, where we disagree is what to do about it. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. We're going to take a station break so stations may identify themselves. This is the Angry Indian, and you are listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
With it, you know, like wage labor that's not particularly pleasant, that, you know, the rich have the big gap between like rich and poor, but I mean it's together now because there's been like increasing standards of living in America, and isn't that in one way like a justification for it, the why it's still around, why capitalism from my understanding has triumphed and it's still.
No, it's not. I don't think so. I mean, there was rising standards of living in slave societies. Slaves were much better off in the early 19th century than in the early 18th century. Is that an argument for slavery?
Well,
it's a terrible argument, you know?
This is Rad Eye to Angra Indian. Angra Indian Radio for the Fourth World.
Every day, one more Aboriginal person will test positive for HIV. Some will be rejected by their family, friends, and community. They will live in isolation, their voices no longer heard. HIV/AIDS stigma and discrimination denies our people the right to protect their future. You can make a difference. Be their voice.
Voices Indigenous Radio brings to you the basics of how not to violate the law and presents the people who are fighting the war against Mother Earth. We bring the awareness of a different paradigm to the airwaves of WBAI as we shed the same old systematic paradigm that is killing Mother Earth. And you can hear the perspective of Indigenous peoples throughout the world and how they live with the law, land, air, and water. First Voices Indigenous Radio is produced in the studios of WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming and archived on WBAI.org. and firstvoicesindigenousradio.org.
Come on, chillin'. That's what we're talking about. We need a little help. Can't do this y'all alone. Thank God for this. Lick. Jim Brown, y'all. Yes, this your evening. One more time. We're the act on the chillin' for get up. Get into it. Get involved. Oh, Hunter Chillin, when I have to come down here to the Gullah Geechee Nation, I'm so glad that Hunter to tune in to we Gullah Geechee Rhythm Radio Station. Hunter Chillin, no, this year the head from the body of this year nation and the whole of we station. Queen Quest, come on, Chillin, get involved, get involved, get involved to the Gullah Geechee Sea Island Coalition, the sponsor of this year radio station. Hunter Chillin, this year the we show, Gullah Geechee Rhythm Radio. Come on, y'all.
Охота на волков. Рвусь из сил, из всех сухожилий. Но сегодня опять как вчера обложили меня, обложили. Гонят весело на номера. И заели хлопочут двустволки, там охотники прячутся в тень, на снегу кувыркаются волки, превратившись в живую мишень. Идет охота на волков, идет охота на серых хищников, матерых и щенков. Кричат загонщики и лают сыта рвоты, кровь на снегу и пятна красные флажком. Наши ноги и челюсти быстры. Почему же вожак? Дай ответ. Мы затравлено мчимся на выстрел и не пробуем через запрет. Волк не может, не должен, иначе вот кончается время мое. Тот, которому я предназначен, улыбнулся и поднял ружье. И вот охота на волков, идет охота на серых хищников, матерых и щенков. Кричат загонщики и лают сыта рвоты, кровь на снегу и пятна красные флажком. Не на равных играют с волками егеря, но не дрогнет рука, оградив нам свободу флажками, бьют уверенно наверняка. Волк не может нарушить традиции, видно в детстве слепые щенки. Мы волчата сосали волчицу и всосали нельзя за флажки. Идет охота на волков, идет охота на серых хищников, матерых и щенков. Кричат загонщики и лают сыта рвоты, кровь на снегу и пятна красные флажком. Я из поминовения вышел за флажки, жажда жизни сильней. Только сзади я радостно слышал удивленные крики людей. Рвусь из сил, из тех сухожилий, но сегодня не так, как вчера. Обложили меня, обложили, но остались ни с чем егеря. Идет охота на волков, идет охота на серых хищников, матерых и щенков. Кричат загонщики и лают сыта рвоты, кровь на снегу и пятна красные флажком.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
We are the Ku Klux Klan! We hate niggers, we hate Jews, we hate faggots, and we hate specs! We don't have to have a reason to hate. People need to get off your ass and wake up! This is America!
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
You are listening to the Angry Indian and Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Okay, welcome back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. I'm your host, the Angry Indian, sitting in with our engineer, Guadalupe Morales. This is the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service, broadcasting to the international Aboriginal community from occupied North America. Subscribe to our international podcast by way of our RSS feed at feedburner.com/Aboriginal Press Radio. and we are carried by a never-widening network of independent information providers not financially hamstrung by the corporatist news model. That would include Berkeley Liberation Radio and Radio Free Kansas. For more information on the news items and opinions discussed in this internet radio broadcast, please visit our electronic newspapers, aboriginalpressnews.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and ang-newswire.blogspot.com. You can also leave us a polite voicemail at Aboriginal Media Group via Google Talk, and you can always email our studios at aboriginalradio@lavabit.com. Now, I welcome back my brothers and sisters of the Fourth World, our non-Aboriginal ideological comrades, and the negative element staunchly opposed to human justice and social harmony. But in spite of all of that, they take the time to listen to this show anyway. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. And yeah, you know, there's a few things I want to get into, and I'm on my second pot of coffee today. So, you know, it's, hey, you know, brothers and sisters, you know, it is what it is, right? So roll with me. You know, for those of you who didn't get the memo, you know, this is free from radio at its finest as far as I'm goddamn concerned. And that's something, yeah, that's where we can go, because we were supposed to talk about that before, right, Lupe? Okay, yep. At least 5 minutes. You know, hey, you know, somebody was like, you know, Limbaugh has millions, right, of listeners. It was just one of those nonsense arguments. You know, well, Hannity has a following and O'Reilly has a following. And it's like, I don't like to get into these discussions by mainstream media. Really? You know, I really don't. Because, you know, there's so much other real goddamn media out there. You know, I really don't like talking about them. But, you know, we kind of have to, because Glenn Beck's and Limbaugh's and Ali Knauf's, does he still have his radio show? And, you know, G. Gordon Liddy and what have you. You know, they're still on the radio, right? And Ann Coulter, I don't know, whenever she needs to write a book, I guess she picks another black cocktail dress and goes out there quarter after five in the morning to set up and have makeup and what have you in the green room. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, you see her when she's trying to make some money. You know, other than that, no, she doesn't have anything to say. And nobody, I don't think, really listens. But, you know, in any case, I don't like talking about these people because it's pointless. It's really pointless. Now, for example, like I said, there's been a lot of things flying around the internet. And this is what's going on right now as we're going as we're recording this for you in, on demand, in the world of on demand media, right? You know, as we're recording this, Media Matters for America. Now, if you're not aware of them, you might as well go check them out. Cause like I said, you know, the people that run this used to work for the Republicans. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if you really want to understand somebody, you know, talk to his enemy, right? So, they used to be pals. Now they're not anymore. So here's Media Matters for America, which you can find at mediamatters.org. And they said that Glenn Beck, which, you know, nobody should be goddamn surprised about this. You know, he exposes the NRA as an anti-government, extremist organization. Well, we already knew that. See, they got Assata Shakur now on the number one terrorist list. And you know, do you realize it's always interesting to me how they always send a Negro to make these goddamn public statements? Do you realize that? What's it, it's J-E-H, you know, that's not, I don't know how you pronounce his name, but the one that went and made the big statement about how the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, now listen to me carefully, brothers and sisters, how the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King would be supportive of the occupations of Iraq and Afghanistan. Go look it up. Don't believe me. Don't believe me. Go look it up. Go look it up. I mean, he made a statement about something not too long ago, but I can't remember. But, you know, it's like that, to say that Dr. King, this is somebody who spoke against Vietnam. Do we really have to talk about the speech he gave a year before he was taken from us? Do we really have to do this? What did he say about the United States? I'm not going to repeat it because I want you to go look for it. What did he say about the United States? And for that goddamn matter, what did he say about black pride? You're going to have to go on YouTube for that. Because you're not going to be told this in elementary school, high school, secondary school,
primary school, wherever the hell, whatever country you're in, when they talk about the Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King, you know, you will not hear how he said, do not let anyone take your manhood. I'm black and I'm proud. But underline, do not let anyone take your manhood. I'm black and I'm proud. And I want to get the language right tonight. Look for the video. Go to YouTube. Go to the internet, because you will not find this in the official history books. You know, this is everything that, you know, badass Malcolm X, brother minister Malcolm X, right? You know, this is what we attribute to, you know, the bad nigger, the wolf, right? You know, the nightmare. You know, the nightmare. You know, the angry African man who can articulate not just his suffering, but your goddamn, you know. Yeah, I don't even know where to go with this without being insulting, because I don't hate white folks. You know, I don't hate white folks, but, you know, I don't like what you do. And I don't like how so many of you say, oh, well, that's bad. You know, well, it's terrible that that happened to you. But, you know, not like, well, you know what, that should never have happened to you. And then what's worse, well, it shouldn't have happened to you because you're my friend and because I have, you know, whatever sort of relationship feelings for you, what have you. But when it happens to that other nigga, well, hey, man, you know, he's one of those niggas. It didn't happen to you. So why are you, you know, worrying about this? It didn't happen to you. It didn't happen to you. Right? You weren't Rosa Parks. It didn't happen to you. You were never a slave. It didn't happen to you. Well, that's pretty funny, because, you know, everything that they were charging Saddam Hussein with, it didn't happen to any white man in America either, you know, did it? You know, how many Americans were involved in what Hussein was doing, who were getting damaged by what Hussein was doing? But yet everybody wanted to go over there and light it up, right? So, you know, it's same thing with what I mean, you know. Well, I said Iraq, right? I mean, Afghanistan. You know, you want to go get him? Get him. Why do you have to lay waste to the entire goddamn place and then bring in a backdoor so Monsanto can start spreading his goddamn filth all over the place? Because that's what's happened. I mean, you know, don't believe me. Go to Democracy Now! They use slave labor to build that embassy. What is supposed to be the largest embassy in the world, right? Or compound or what have you in Iraq. They use slave labor from the Philippines and other Southeast Asian countries to do this. DemocracyNow.org. Don't believe me. Don't believe anything I say on this show. You check it out yourself. Don't believe anything I say on the show. You go look for it yourself. You do the goddamn research. You do the research and don't let anybody tell you what's going on. Find out what's going on. This isn't the goddamn Alex Jones show. Find out what's going on. Do the research for yourself. Think fucking independently. And ask yourself how Assata Shakur can be placed on a list like this. Well, I mean, they're placing all kinds of people on all kinds of goddamn lists. But I mean, how they can put her on a list like this when we had Geronimo Pratt, who not only was freed after it was found out in the court of law that he was framed. By who? Do the research. By who? Do the research. Brother Daruba bin Wahad. What it came out in his court case after a Freedom of Information Act request revealed what? Do the research. Do the research. And take into account that the U.S. government had to pay both of these men multiple millions of dollars. Brother Geronimo Pratt, or some say General Geronimo Pratt, depending on how, you know, you take things. Which again, you know, when we get to this thing between myself and Walt Churchill, you'll get what I'm talking about. But in any case, you know, Geronimo Pratt was, you know, first off, not a member of the Black Panther Party. He was never a member of the Black Panther Party. He was actually part of the network, the underground network that existed at that time. That, well, for all accounts and purposes, really doesn't exist anymore. I mean, do you really think the rap game and what have you and twerking and all of this bullshit would be around if the Black Panther Party existed, or any other black organization that really gave a damn existed. And yes, there's the Nation of Islam out there, but the Nation of Islam is the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam talks about black people, but the Nation of Islam, for the most part, deals only with members of the Nation of Islam. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, the Minister Farrakhan, and I have total respect for him, right, as a leader, as an African leader. You know, do you disagree with him? He said that, you know, that I don't give a goddamn. You know, it is what the fuck it is. You know what I'm saying? There wouldn't be a Farrakhan if it wasn't for white racism. So let's talk about that. See, let's get to the radix, the root of things. Eh? You know, instead of just, you know, talking about the symptoms, let's talk about the causes. You know, nobody wants to talk about Monsanto and cancer. And they got a law now where you can't talk about Monsanto and cancer, right? You know, so it's like, you know, let's talk about the causes. Why did they pass the Monsanto Protection Act? To prevent any investigation and blame for the cause. So we'll talk about cancer. And money will be made from cancer. Money is being made from cancer. Money has always been made from cancer. And it's funny how a black woman, Henrietta Lacks, is basically, you know, the fundamental thing that makes cancer research even possible in the first place. She's a black woman. Who gives a goddamn? Money was made on her tissues. Want to talk about some Aurelian shit? Any of you out there seen THX 1138? George Lucas's first film, you know, we're talking about her genetic material. They took her genetic material, her cancerous genetic material, and, you know, okay, well, they did it, if you want to call it a good thing, because I haven't seen any goddamn cures, you know, working on this, all this. But it turns out that the lab that had it, the doctor that had it, what, he got a patent on it or what have you? They were making money for this. Did the family, her husband, you know, no, they still lived however they lived. And she was never given, you know, any sort of, you know, historical credit for this. And, you know, it's just a peeve that I have. It's just a peeve that I have. That, you know, we're always being told the niggas have never done any goddamn thing. You know, that Indians have never done any goddamn thing. That, you know, in my case anyway, that Filipinos, Ilocanos, Hoy, you know, have never done anything. And yeah, when it comes to, you know, talking about Philippine history, you know, whether, you know, in the United States or in the Philippines, or the U.S. war against the Philippines, yeah, I'm pretty buck in that respect, you know. And it is, again, what the fuck it is, you know. It's like, I'm on the outside, so it's like I can look inside the white man's house and I can speak his language and, you know, write it, right, and dissect it and deconstruct it and what have you. You know, because when you're an Uncle Tom, see, you can do things like this. And while it sounds like I'm rambling, I'm really not. Because while I'm saying what I'm saying, and, you know, it's an analysis for those who understand my language, right? In the meantime, you have Beck here, who has said all kinds of goddamn things. Like saying that the victims in Norway from Anders Breivik were Hitler youth. And here he is at the NRA. And from what I understand now, that this, again, is coming from Media Matters for America, mediamatters.org, that Glenn Beck had the goddamn unmitigated gall. Now, you know, I don't live in New York, but I don't have any love for Michael Bloomberg. You know, he just last week said that it was racist to say that stop and frisk was racist against black men. And like I said, you got to follow me now, because this jumps around like a Mexican jumping bean. Mayor Bloomberg, and I suppose the chief of police over there, well, actually, yes, because he's, as he said, well, we'll get to him in a moment. But, you know, Bloomberg now, like I said, you know, I have no particular, you know, political love for Bloomberg. But the bottom line is he's still a Jew in America, right? He's still a Jew in the world, which means to some degree, if you take Zionism out of the equation, he's a goddamn outsider. And like I said, my mother spoke Yiddish. So, you know, that's something that I tend to look at. So when I see Glenn Beck on Media Matters and they're reporting that he, with a link, that he displayed on the screen a poster-like image of Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York City, in New York State. Michael Bloomberg giving a Sieg Heil salute, with what they mean, you know, the Roman salute that, you know, people forget all about goddamn Mussolini with that, and nobody even wants to talk about Imperial Rome with that, where he ripped it off from. But they said here, a Sieg Heil salute. right? German Nazi, state-sponsored, state-mandated goddamn salute. That his Blaze network, his Blaze propaganda network, because that's what it is, displayed on the screen a poster-like image of Michael Bloomberg giving the Sieg Heil salute to, and it goes further, to equate the Jewish mayor of New York City to Nazis used to be beyond the pale in American politics. Well, evidently, goddamn it, it isn't. And will Glenn Beck be held accountable for this? No. You got to remember here, I lost all goddamn respect for the ADL. I lost all goddamn respect for the Anti-Defamation League for two fucking reasons. For two main fucking reasons. Now, you had an idiot down in Atlanta, Georgia, for our international listeners. What was his name? Adler? I can't remember. Whoever the hell it was, the Atlanta Jewish Press. Was that it? Now, this is a Jewish paper that's been around for about 100 years or so. I believe they were around when the Leo Frank hanging case, a Jewish man who may or may not have done his crime, but was, you know, a mob came in and pretty much, you know, pushed the authorities out of the way, took him in and just, you know, lynched him in the street. Because he was a Jew. I mean, the crime was bad, but he was a Jew. So it was like double bad, right? So, you know, I don't even know why are we talking about this in 2013? Seriously. Why is Glenn Beck allowed to be on any communication, any electronic communication? Why is he allowed to spread his manure all over the place? I can't believe this. Michael Bloomberg is the mayor of an international goddamn city. I mean, probably one of the more important cities in the world. And he's going to do this. But like I said, he did this thing with Hitler Youth, and it was okay, right? It was okay. I mean, the ADL apologized to Beck. I have no goddamn respect for Abe Foxman. Not since that point, when he apologized to Beck for calling him what he is, a Judeophobe. And no, I'm not going to use anti-Semite, because nobody ever uses anti-Semitism when we talk about Palestinians, do we? Frankly, no one ever says anti-Semitism when we're talking about Greeks, right? 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 So, yeah. So, you know, I mean, let's move on, because I heard somebody was selling a certain type of a Target that he had to pull down from his shelves over at the NRA a circle jerk down there in Texas. Look it up. Don't believe me. You know, a certain individual, he pops up on t-shirts with bananas and things like that, and they were actually selling some kind of a thing that the people at the NRA, you know, they kind of need, they make use of. Go look for it. I'm being cryptic because I want you to go look for it. I want you to do the research. I want you to look for it. What were they selling at the NRA clusterfuck down there this week in Texas? What were they selling down there that had to be removed from the shelves because of public outcry, because of the embarrassment? Not that he probably wasn't selling any, but because of the embarrassment. Do the research, my brother and sister. You got a computer. You can type all that in right now to your favorite search engine and find out what the hell's going on. You know, you tell me. You tell me. We're going to take another break. This is the Angry Indian. You are listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Please stay tuned.
I'm Carol Gordon. Information is the best way to protect your health. Plan B, an emergency contraceptive, is now available over the counter without a prescription or a doctor's appointment for women 17 years and older. If you have had unprotected sex or have been sexually assaulted, consider Plan B to prevent an unwanted pregnancy. You have a legal right to get Plan B without a doctor's prescription. For more information, call your local Indian Health Service. If your local IHS does not carry Plan B, request that they do. Contact your local tribal health board and let them know about Plan B so they can make sure IHS provides it. For more information, call 605-487-7072. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
I'm gonna stand until I can't stand no more if I have to stand by myself.
The American people are the last people to wake up.
Prisons are becoming an integral part of the U.S. economy.
People of color organize critical thinking, strategic work, and direct action for social, racial, gender, and economic justice.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
People of Color Organize features intersections of race, politics, feminism, movement, class, internationalism, and theory.
This is about the Black Panthers. This is about the American Indian movement. This is about all of us.
Visit us online at peopleofcolororganize.com. Follow us on Twitter at POCorganize and Facebook at facebook.com/peopleofcolororganize. You can also find us on Tumblr at peopleofcolor.tumblr.com.
We're organizing against what we term genocide.
HIV संक्रमितहरूलाई माया ममता र समाजमा सम्मानित जीवन जिउने वातावरण निर्माण गरौं।
यो उनीहरूको अपेक्षा होइन अधिकार हो।
रोगलाई तिरस्कार र बहिष्कार गरौं, रोगीलाई होइन। एचआईभी अरूलाई मात्र होइन तपाईँलाई पनि लाग्न सक्छ।
सकारात्मक सोच, स्वस्थ समाज अनि सही निर्णय नै सरल तथा सफल जीवन हो।
सामाजिक रूपान्तरणका लागि गगन गृहको एउटा प्रयास।
Yo, what's up? My name is Jasiri X, you know what I'm saying? And I'm really responding to the call, man, of my sister Rosa Clemente, you know what I'm saying? For men in hip-hop, really stand up and say, like, rape under no circumstances is acceptable, you know what I'm saying? Rape shouldn't be rapped about, it shouldn't be supported, you know what I'm saying? And I'm really feeling like, you know, especially after Rick Ross came out today and said what he said, you know, he didn't use the word rape, but he described a scenario in which, you know, he put something in a woman's drink and had sex with her, and she didn't consent. If you have sex with a woman and she didn't consent, that's rape. And we have to say no to rape. And beyond Rick Ross, whether it's Fox News or their viewers attacking Zelina Maxwell for asking men to stop raping women, whether it's Hollywood, you know, perpetuating, you know, this rape culture, you know, it's got to stop. It's really, you know, we got to take personal responsibility as men. My name is Jasiri X. This is One Hood.
You can't bring up, one guy sent me a very interesting thing about Barack Obama and race. You can't bring up anything other than that suddenly he's African-American. If you start to, you know, delve around the edges of, wait a minute, isn't he mixed race? Weren't we told that last year? Whatever, biracial? Not allowed to say that anymore. Apparently, the mainstream media has dubbed him to be African-American.
Yeah, I was driving in today, and I was seeing, because I saw this the piece with him on 60 Minutes, and I thought to myself, he's very white in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, gee, can I even say that? Can I even say that without somebody else starting a campaign saying, what does he mean he's very white? He is. He's very white.
When a Muslim without a birth certificate has taken over the White House, you need a good white former junkie to show you the direction that America needs to go in. Beck, it's What's for Demagogue.
This is The Horn, I'm Bob Kincaid. Head on RadioNetwork.com, an internet-based conversation radio experiment. Available most easily at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a Listen Live button, just jump right on it, and there you are. Or if you're on a mobile device, it's also easy to find us at TuneIn Radio. A nice app for your mobile smartphone, or Tuner Internet Radio, or star.fm or Stitcher Radio, streama.com. We are rather ubiquitous. I mean, if we got more every night, we'd be paying salaries, right? Head on radionetwork.com.
This is FSNN reporter MJ Del Valle in Tbilisi, Georgia. Free Speech Radio News has been an essential outlet for my stories from the Caucasus region, including in-depth looks at the recent Armenian presidential election, the creative ways protesters in Azerbaijan are using to fight for freedom of expression, and labor struggles in the Republic of Georgia. But FSRN, along with the voices of people struggling for dignity, equality, and human rights, could be silenced. Find out how can you support independent grassroots journalists at fsrn.org.
This is APNS Public Radio.
This is the Angry Indian, and you are listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome back. We're going to tie all this up. We're talking about propaganda, basically. I mean, that is what it is, and I suppose we simply should call it that. But I want to get into more than that, and that is the concept of memes. Because when we talk about racism, when we talk about fascism, and fascism in particular, which is really where I want to get, because, and I don't want to focus on racism so much, but it is an issue in the United States. And the reason I'm saying that is that because fascism in and of itself is xenophobic. Fascism in and of itself is xenophobic at its root base. So racism, you know, institutional racial classifications, racial stratifications, right? Racial marginalizations. It's just par for the course. That it isn't funny. And see, I don't want to go to another tangent. I want to get to this. Now, here's the setup. Now, I have a recent piece, I guess my last piece, Playing Politics with Genocide, or How the Guns Rights Movement Became Indigenous. And what it comes down to is the journalist Joel Dwyer, he writes for a few people, but on the Boulder Weekly, I believe he's a resident there. And he asked me what I thought about a highway billboard that's up in Colorado that has three natives holding rifles that basically says, well, they took their guns and, you know, look what happened. Now, you can only imagine what I had to say about this. And, you know, he asked for a statement and I ended up writing a piece. You know, I mean, it just happened because as I was looking at this, there's no way this didn't have one or two answers. Now, the reason I... Oh, yeah, here it is. Thank you, Lupe. Okay, now his piece on this... Lastly, I'm trying not to jump around here, and I apologize for that. The billboard itself, says, turn in your arms. The government will take care of you. And like I said, you have three natives, and one is standing with a rifle. Now, I don't recognize the photograph. I don't know what particular nation this is. I'm going to make a educated guess that it's Plains. I don't want to say what particular nation, but I would assume Plains because East, West Coast, you know, we didn't wear headdresses. The way that, you know, war bonnets, we didn't wear them. And that's what the brother in the middle. Now, of course, if you're part of the Indigenous rights movement, you'll look at this. You can relate. You can understand. But this wasn't meant for the Native American population. And pretty sure this wasn't put out by the Native American population. Even your most radical Indians would not have put this out. All right? Because for one, if they were really thinking about it, let's just say maybe it was Natives, because that's what a lot of white folks online are screaming. That how do you know it wasn't an Indian group? And, well, we don't know because as Joel Dry pointed out, pointed out, they're not even coming forth to say it was them. And it came out what? How long before the NRA convention in Texas? You see, here's total confusion. Now, if you're a white person and looking at this and you say, okay, well, here's some Indians, and they're talking about turning in your arms, the government will take care of you. Is anybody really supposed to believe you're supposed to see this and have sympathy for natives? Or you're supposed to look at this and have sympathy for white folks because if you take our guns, then we'll disappear like the Indian? Now, like I said, I'm trying not to jump around, but, you know, it's difficult. it's really, really difficult because, you know, here it is. They, you know, I mean, as I, you know, put to him, and you can go and look at it at the Boulder Weekly yourself. I mean, of course, we link to it, and we link to it in my piece. You can find this at, or, you know, my my response to this billboard at aboriginalwriter.wordpress.com. But you can also go to boulderweekly.com, look for Joel Dyer, and you'll see it. Now, somebody who left a comment at the end, who was talking about the hypocrisy in the argument about this, well, he has something to say about my 2,300-word response that Mr. Dyer happened to point out. And that's okay, because, see, you might think it's long-winded. They might think it's long-winded because, you know, we just want really simplistic, you know, one-word, one-sentence answers for every goddamn thing. You know, something else that is inherent within fascism. The total dumbing down of all information, all communication, history, you know, all of that is there. Is there. It can, all of that can be found within fascism. So, you know, like I said, you can, I'm not going to read it here, but, you know, out to you, because I want you to go look at it at boulderweekly.com. And the piece is called What's Wrong With This Picture. Go take a look at it. Joel Dyer. And, you know, for those of you who like to throw Churchill in my face as if we're somehow kindred spirits, necessarily, like we're attached to the hip, you know, ideologically, I've been trying to say that he has his opinions and I have mine. Where we agree with each other is that, you know, white folks are racist as hell. They do not want to cop on to their genocide. They do not want to cop on to their imperialism, their colonialism, their racism, you know, their sexism. You know, they don't want to account for anything. All they want to talk about is like what they've done for us without, you know, talking about what the hell they have forced us to do for them. And, you know, when he, when the same author who asked me about this billboard asked Walt Churchill, you can see in the piece, he gave a one sentence response. And that I'll read because it's just one sentence. Can't see anything to disagree with. On the contrary, the billboard is exactly on point. See, that does, as far as I'm concerned, nah, you know, I can be mocked, you know, by anybody, I suppose, for a 2,300-word response. But that's okay, because we really needed 5,000 words to really break down. And I didn't even come close, as near as I wanted to within that piece. I held back. You know, how the hell can you put something as confusing as this down to one sentence and say that that means anything? See, that works to the benefit of the fascists, doesn't it? That works to the benefit of the National Rifle Association. That works to the benefit of all these paranoid, inadequately feeling white guys out here who need to walk around and need to have the full knowledge that they have a legal right to walk around with whatever weapon that they want, and they can go buy as much of this as they want without going through a background check. Whereas every time I go for a goddamn job, they check me 3 times and ask for piss. You know, but with them, you know, no, nothing. You know, just, you know, send a check, money order, you know, whatever it is, show up at one of these shows, meet somebody in a supermarket parking lot or what have you, and you can get whatever the hell you want and walk around with it. Right? You know, there are people walking around Portland, or at least it happened once. I mean, it was just a stunt that was in the Oregonian, you know, around here. These fellas walk around with assault rifles. Well, I got a ride. I got a right. Well, you know what? I, as a black man and as a native, I got a right not to be fucked with by police officers. You dig what I'm saying? As a citizen of the United States, not by my own choice, but because by 1926, they decided that Indians were citizens here so they could take the land, right? Same thing with black folks. Nobody asked us anything. They passed the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. It isn't that funny that Africans need the 13th and 14th and 15th Amendment, two civil rights bills, and a slew of other little things in order to even be able to walk down the street in the United States. No, it, well, look, you know, when Justice Robert Jackson was sitting in judgment of the Germans in Nuremberg, you know, none of this ever came up. You know, natives never came up. Africans never came up. You know, Filipino slaves in the United States, that never came up, right? Hawaii never came up. Puerto Rico never came up. Cuba never came up, you know. What happened in the Philippines not too long before that, you know, really, historically speaking, Philippine-American War, you know, none of that ever came up. None of that ever came up. You know, same thing with the British. I mean, how do you really hear about the concentration camps and the ways that they were treating the Boers? Not that I'm a fan of the racism under the Afrikaners, but I'm just pointing out, you know, there's a reason why there were so many mixed people before the British got there. You know, what would have happened if the British had not instituted a racial thing, their own racial thing? You know, I'm just curious. It doesn't mean that there still wouldn't have been a light-skinned versus darker dichotomy, but I'm just curious, and this is a question that should be raised, but it's not raised. It's this type of confusion that really confuses. So here you have this thing that looks like it's pro-native, and it's not pro-native at all. It's just turning, this is pure fascism, total historical revisionism. So here you have white people that are right here trying to make a plea that if you take our guns, we lose all of our freedom, and then you'll wipe us out the way Indians are wiped out, without mentioning that they were the ones that wiped out the Indians. And they were the ones that make sure that the history makes it, you know, clear in traditional Americana that the native people who were defending their land, defending their women, defending their dignity, defending their lives, were actually the oppressors. They were actually the oppressors. I mean, that's the whole thing behind Thanksgiving, isn't it? Thanks God. Thanks to God for giving us the power to take the land from these people, because that's what it was. And that's what it is. And if you're native and you do Thanksgiving, like some of the people I know down here, yeah, I don't have a whole lot of respect for you in terms of your political understanding and your political clarity. No, I don't. Because you don't have any political understanding, and clarity is something that you're going to have to work on. You know, if you're native and you're practicing Thanksgiving, well, hell, that's like a Jew jumping up and down and singing the horse whistle lead. I mean, what's the difference? What's the difference? What's the difference? There is no goddamn difference. You know, you could say it's a difference because you want to say that, but there is no difference. Well, it was a long time ago. Well, you know what? I'm still hearing about the fall of Israel that had nothing to do with any goddamn Palestinian. You know, here they are invaded by a European power, otherwise known as the Roman Empire. And they use this as an excuse for stomping down on Palestinians. Explain that one. You know, that doesn't make any sense either, right? It's called revisionism. It's called revisionism. And in the case of this, you know, I would prefer a Zionist were just more honest. You know, quote Zeev Jabotinsky. You know, he made it very clear. Look, Indians fought for their land, right? Well, Palestinians are going to fight for theirs too. So if we're going to take it, you know what we have to do. Be honest about it. Be straight about it. You know, if you're going to talk about the Grand Mufti at the time, was Al Husseini, who recruited Bosnian Muslims to you know, fight alongside the Croatian Ustaše on behalf of the fascist movement, on behalf of the Nazis and the fascists in Italy and Spain, in Europe, right? You know, this removing their Serb neighbors, removing their Roma populations, right? But the Serbs, sorry, you know, Croatians are going to have to live with this. The Ustaše removed more Serbs than the Nazis did during the World War II period. Now, I have people that get angry with me about that, but they can't prove otherwise. The record is there. The record is there. So like I said, they can bring up Al Husseini all they like, and it's accurate. But let's bring up why he did that. You know, what are you going to do? Psycho history now? And we know for sure, like Niall Ferguson just did recently, because John Maynard Keynes was gay, which I didn't really know. That this is why capitalism is fucked up, not because of the invisible hand of goddamn greed, as Adam Smith pointed out. See, it's this type of nonsense, this syllogistic logic that, I mean, is it logical? I don't think so. Do you think so? I mean, this is the type of logic that has, I mean, what branch of the military is this? Was it the Navy? I don't know. This is an investigator, somebody that's supposed to be protecting the rights of people who are sexually assaulted in the military. Well, he just got busted for sexually assaulting somebody in public just last night. So, you know, it's like, well, what the hell is this? What is this? What is this? What kind of country has the United States? And people are like, well, we've turned into something bad. Well, ask an Indian or a black man if you think the country just turned this goddamn way. Let's talk about Rosewood in Florida. Let's talk about Black Wall Street in Tulsa. Let's talk about Duluth. You know, come on. Are you serious? Let's talk about when they were this, you know, removing Mexicans from the United States and putting them on trains and shipping them anywhere across the other side of Rio Grande, Rio Bravo, depending on who you ask. Huh? Mi Familia, if you don't want to read a book, then watch the movie and talk about how their mother just got picked up and put on a train and just sent out. They did this twice in the history of the United States. And don't tell me about Texas, where they're holding this NRA convention, because, you know, they did that for a reason. Texas only became a part of the goddamn Union. They stole it from Mexico, all right? Went to war with Mexico, but they stole it from Mexico. You hear all about Sam Houston, hear all about the goddamn Alamo, but they don't tell you that they were pushing the United States presence in that area because they were expanding slavery. And slavery was illegal under Mexican law. Why? Because the first Mexican president was black. How many of you know that? I know Cinco de Mayo was passed, you know, the one day that white people in America want to be Mexican, right? That one time, you know, drinking, don't even know what they're drinking to. It was a commemoration of a battle, not independence, but you know, you can't tell them this. This is America. You know, this is the land where black women feel the need, the psychological pressure to chemically straighten their hair. But what am I talking about? Oprah's over there pushing the same nonsense in Africa. So, hey, right? What can be done? You know, what can be done? Asada Shakur is all of a sudden now. I mean, you know, how do we deal with this? How do we deal with this? Now that we know that, you know, the Shakur family has been watched for generations. Because after Tupac passed, right? After Tupac passed, and you could say it's a conspiracy with the system, or it's a conspiracy of who he was hanging with. And it was just, you know, we had to be honest, it was a bad light the night that he went out anyway. You know, from what we saw in the hotel or the vestibule of that hotel down there. I mean, you know, it didn't look good. None of it looked good. And for what happened to him, I mean, yeah, you know, we can talk about, you know, him and Paul. Yeah, that's true. And he did tell truth, but he also lived like a thug. So it's like at the same time, let that be the lesson. Let that be the lesson. If you're going to talk awareness, you got to do it too. You just can't talk it, man. That's, you know, it's just words. We can sing Tupac all goddamn day long. If it doesn't bring to any consciousness that can get you off your ass to do something about police brutality because you're waiting for Obama to do it. Or if you think JC's gonna do something for you, JC ain't doing nothing for anybody but Jay-Z. All right, he can come up with a call for a boycott against, was it Cristal? Because they're not particularly happy that Negroes in the United States are drinking their product. But he can't, you know, do anything like that about police brutality, right? Or a 16-year-old sister in Texas being charged with felonies for a science experiment, and then you had a worse case dealing with two white youths, and they didn't even charge it. They hardly even did an investigation. They just looked at it and walked away. Where's Jay-Z and Beyonce when it comes to things like that? Beyonce is dancing for Bush. Didn't she dance for Bush? Both Bushes? No. It was Dim Sun, right? But, you know, whoever. She has no beef with the system, the extant system, Destiny's Child, her, you know, however you want to look at it. They want to be up there. They want to be in the limelight, right? They want to represent America while black men are being, you know, extrajudicially removed, and they don't say a goddamn thing about it. And yes, you know, Jason Collins came out. That's cool. I support him, and I'm glad that he's getting support, even though it seems like this other cat in the NFL was... this guy kicked off the team because of his support for gay men in professional sports, or gay people, I should say, in professional sports. Look, I don't keep up. I don't give a damn about sports. Not my interest. But I just find it funny that the first black president in the history of the United States can call this guy, and he can call these other gay people when they have problems, and black people are out here just being disappeared, and he can't say a goddamn thing. When Troy Davis went down, what did he say? Did he say anything? Did the Holder, did he say anything? Did Colin Powell say anything? Did Condoleezza Rice say anything? Did Oprah say anything? Did any of these big Negroes say anything? You know, and as far as Oprah, man, you know, I'm done, you know, even really dealing with her. And I get tired of Indians that want to talk to me about her. It's like, you know, look, she went down to, the Dinier who don't powwow, got them to put on the powwow, and they were so happy, oh yeah, she's down here. What did she do? She did the same thing any other white goddamn capitalist, you know, image mucker out here is going to do. They go down there and present a form of Indian that people are used to. Those people did not powwow. Was it the Dinier? Whoever she visited, those people don't powwow. But they just had to do it, right? You know, it's just like those people who tell me, oh, I'm a Cherokee, this, that, and the other. But then they stand on the corner taking pictures with a war bonnet for somebody. But then get mad with me because I'm not waving the flag for the native soldiers out here who are going to take land from somebody else the way it was taken from them. No, sorry. Sorry, you know, because see, I got to hear too much shit from a lot of natives talking about, well, you're really black. One drop rule, right? And a lot of black folks, you know, really give Indian racism a pass. Well, you know, slavery in the five civilized tribes, quote unquote civilized tribes, you know, it was different from what white people were doing. That's a goddamn lie. Read the slave narratives. They took advantage of the women in their, that they owned, just like any goddamn white man. How do you think so many of us got Indian blood in the first goddamn place? And why so many of us claim to be Cherokee and Choctaw? Because of that. Because of that. It's not like the Narragansett or, you know, the other eastern bands, you know, tribes and what have you. It's like, no. Let's start calling it what it is. Because, see, when we don't clarify these things and don't talk about these things and don't deconstruct these things, then somebody can put out a goddamn poster with natives on it that's really pro-NRA and has people so goddamn confused that natives end up supporting the NRA and don't even realize why. Just like we got black folks out here talking about, well, the Republican Party trying to protect us. They pointed out that Planned Parenthood is trying to wipe out black people. Do they know anything at all about Margaret Sanger? No. Yes, Margaret Sanger was admittedly a racist. From what I understand, she wasn't in the closet about it. But she also opened her doors to black women who needed gynecological care because the white doctors out there wouldn't do it. And if they were trying to get rid of black people, then why did they just start doing so? They've been around for quite a while. As I said, you know, you let somebody tell you what the hell is going on, you will always be on the train that goes to nowhere. This is the Angry Indian, and you've been listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
There are many arguments against the death penalty. It's not a deterrent against the crimes that it punishes. Society who use the death penalty don't have lower crime rates than those that do. When a country abolishes the death penalty, they are not plunged into criminal chaos. But even if the death penalty did reduce crime rates, would it then be acceptable? The death penalty targets the economically disadvantaged, those who can't afford good legal counsel, those without a voice in society. There's a saying in the U.S., capital punishment means that those without the capital get the punishment. Statistics show this is true. But would it be acceptable if people from all sections of society were executed? Does killing a rich man make killing a poor man right? The death penalty is irreversible and results in the death of innocence. When someone is dead, a retrospective pardon is of little use to them or their family. Since 1990, in China, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Nigeria, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and the USA, there have been 51 recorded executions of child offenders, some as young as 14 years old. But even if no more innocents or children are killed, should we tolerate the death penalty? The death penalty is never acceptable. It abuses two of our most basic human rights. Everyone has the right to live, and no one shall be subject to torture. The death penalty obviously kills people, but it also tortures, physically by the brutal nature of execution, and psychologically by forcing individuals to wait to be killed. They wait, sometimes for decades, while others are led to their deaths. The horror of this waiting is unimaginable. Human rights are thus called because they apply to all human beings. They belong to all of us equally. An attack on these fundamental rights anywhere is an attack against all of us. The right to life is inalienable. It cannot be given and it cannot be taken away. No matter how terrible the crime, in a world full of uncertainty, human rights are a clearly drawn line, a line between what is right and what is wrong, the line between imprisonment and execution. Every individual facing the death penalty is, whatever they stand accused of, still a human being. However much we revile them, however much we are outraged by their actions, however much we want revenge, they are still human beings. They may well have killed and tortured. They've crossed the line. But do we really want to join them?
This is Noam Chomsky. Strong evidence suggests that the Bush administration launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge and tortured, targeted civilians and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
This is Haley Mills. We're all familiar with the issues. We all know that we should speak out, that we should take some responsibility for the disastrous decisions and actions made and taken in our name by the leaders of the United States of America and the United Kingdom. Ask your Congress member for the appropriate investigation into the activities of the current administration. Thank you.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
America has a black president, is this proof that racism is a thing of the past?
Well, I think white men were 100% of the people that wrote the Constitution, 100% of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence, 100% of the people who died at Gettysburg and Vicksburg, probably close to 100% of the people who died at Normandy. This has been a country built basically by white folks in this country who were 90% of the entire nation. I think they ought to do. They ought to defend the legitimate rights of white working class folks who are the victims of discrimination.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Media. The Anti-Colonial Cure for Mental Slavery.
Okay, so what's happening with you guys here?
My name is Mark Antio, Kiowa Tribe of Oklahoma. We're with the American Indian Movement, and we're marching in solidarity with the people of Palestine because we understand the threat and the danger of colonialism. Thanks.
Okay, so what's your name? What's your name?
Nelson Cheskay.
Nelson what?
Cheskay,
what tribe?
Dakota Nation.
Dakota?
Yeah.
Awesome. And so why are you here?
I'm here to support the people and what they do, because this has gone on since the time of the arrival of the Europeans, and what goes on there goes on here.
Yeah.
And if you're truly spiritual, you feel everything that's going on in the world. So we feel the pain too.
Can you write down your name, your email address, and aim? So what's your name?
My name is Rita Chomsky, and I'm here supporting my husband against the slaughter of innocent women and children.
Okay, and what tribe are you?
I'm actually Mashiva Mexican.
Awesome. Very good. Okay. Thank you very much.
Africans just can't run things. Now, that's a very, very fundamental point. There are many other areas, as you've well pointed out, where they can beat the hell out of it. Now, and they should be proud of those. And of course, a lot of them are crooks, but we have crooks too. Africans just can't run things. Now, that's a very, very fundamental point in the international scene. See my point?
Oh, boy, and you sure see it around this place.
Well, yeah, of course you do. You see them. They have a hell of a time making it.
And when I would come into staff meetings, Al Haig and Kissinger would beat the table like this, tom-toms. And that was meant
because
to,
you were the
because I was because my clients were these savages who were automatically regarded as fresh out of a Tarzan movie in the jungle, you know. And
this is the White House.
This is the White House. This is the seat of American power and majesty in the world. Yes, yes.
You know, we've got so much blood on American hands. Throughout the world. If you look at all of these crises along the West African coast, Sierra Leone, Angola, Congo, you just run one from one to the other, and you see all of this bloodshed, all of this this killing. With warlords who capture areas with timber and diamonds. The guns come from the United States and other countries as well, but the U.S. is the leading arms supplier to these thugs in the bush in these countries who use children as war fodder.
Say that every coup d'etat that takes place in post-colonial Africa from about 1956-57 right up to and including the first years of the 21st century I would say all but perhaps two or three, we're talking dozens here, were really truly independent of the United States.
I said, assisted genocide. We can no longer go into a country and take it over with guns and bombs and tanks and planes. That would be condemned by the world. But instead, we allow the people to kill themselves. And this is why I call it assisted genocide or assisted self-genocide. It's like assisted suicide. You can't kill a person directly, but you assist them in killing themselves. We're doing this on a vast scale to entire countries and continents today.
And you see these kids fighting. 12, 13, 14-year-old children in rags, but with sophisticated, expensive arms. It never occurs to Americans to ask what they're not told in the news report. Where do these weapons come from? These are the weapons largely sold by American suppliers.
Well, the powers that be, the system, I would want to see them take another look into the eyes of the children and basically rethink the greed and the genocide, the destruction of the children. The powers that be decide who's going to live, who's going to eat, who's going to move, who's going to jump, who's going to have, who's going to not have, who's going to be educated, who's not going to be educated, who's going to receive guns, who's not going to receive guns.
I have mixed feelings. I receive their ambassadors. They change all the time, and I've had them. I love them. They're so kind and so nice. And they're children.
I noticed that the national media, they talk a lot about the loss of revenue or the inability of the government to fund Social Security. And I was curious, and I've read articles in recent months here that the abortions that have happened since Roe v. Wade, the lost revenue for the people who have been aborted during the last 30-something years, could fund Social Security as we know it today. And the media does never touches this at all.
Assuming they're all productive citizens?
Assuming that they are. Well, even if only a portion of them were, it would be an enormous amount of revenue.
Maybe, but we don't know what the cost would be, too. I think, is abortion disproportionately occur among single women?
I don't know the exact statistics, but quite a bit are, yes.
All right. Well, I just don't know. I would not argue for the pro-life position based on this, because you don't know. I mean, it cuts both. You know, one of the arguments in this book, Freakonomics, that they make is that the declining crime rate, they deal with this hypothesis, that one of the reasons crime is down is that abortion is up. Well,
I don't think that statistic is accurate.
Well, I don't think it is either. I don't think it is either, because, first of all, I think there's just too much that you don't know. But I do know that it's true that if you wanted to reduce crime, you could, if that were your sole purpose, you could abort every black baby in this country and your crime rate would go down. That would be an impossible, ridiculous, and morally reprehensible thing to do. But your crime rate would go down. So these far-reaching, extensive extrapolations are, I think, tricky.
This is Intelligence Aboriginal Radio. Angry Indian Radio for the Fourth World.
Internet radio for smart original.